All right, we are reading Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Bible says, these are the commands. Would you say command?
Commands.
That means it's not optional. Commands, decrees, and laws. Anybody got a ticket lately? Yeah, it's like you feel them laws coming right at you. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, that it may go well with you, and that you may greatly increase in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God, the God of your fathers, promised you. Lord, I thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet. I thank you for the, I do thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you. I say that often. And I am blessed by the opportunity to bring forth your word, to be a light for you, Lord. And I thank you that so many of these here this morning share that sentiment of being a light for you, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, as the world grows dim around us, that you would indeed use us in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Joe and I have taken on a new project, not by choice, but by need. We are indeed putting together this 2008 GMC Sierra pickup that Joe pushed one of our other cars into. And it has been a tad of a challenge doing some new stuff. But Mike Hinson came over this week and pulled some dents out, and Joe was lagging a little bit. He was not paying attention to the truck as I thought he might, and it was all ready to go. So I said, you know what, I'm just going to put some Bondo on this thing. And I put the Bondo on. It looked magnificent. I do have to share that with you. It looked fabulous. And how you make Bondo is it looks like, I don't know, like a cream of wheat. You know, it's kind of like a putty, like clay colored. And then you put this hardener in it, which is generally red, and you mix it up, and it turns pink, and you put it on. Well, you got some new Bondo, and the hardener was white. And so I said, yeah, it's white hardener. That's odd. I've never seen white hardener. So I put some on there, you know, and I'm mixing it up, and it didn't really turn pink, obviously, because it was white, and it didn't really turn a color because it was white, and I'm mixing it up. Put it on, it looks magnificent, and I come out in the morning, and it's not hard. My mix was wrong. And so it will never harden. So we had to scrape all the Bondo off, and then I allowed Joe to take over, and he mixed it correctly. And Bondo is indeed going on. Mix was off. Moses is talking to the Hebrews about their mix, the mix in their lives, telling them how much of the Lord they need in their lives. And I think that we can study this word and we can find out from the word how much God we need in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Digging into Deuteronomy as we dig, and we have been digging for the past several weeks, the majority of Deuteronomy happens just on the other side of the Jordan. You've maybe heard of the West Bank in Israel. The West Bank is the west bank of the Jordan. They are camped out on the east bank of the Jordan, and they are looking into the land, and the Lord is telling them how they can be successful as they move into the land and they take the land. Good stuff, amen? I mean, you want to get to the culmination of your life just to lose it. There's a lot of people out there that are losing it, amen? The first five chapters of Deuteronomy, as we have studied, we have seen victory and we've seen defeat. They have moved in and they have destroyed utterly the cities of King Sion and the king of Bashan. Let me make sure I get that right. Yeah, King Bashan and Sion. Bashan had 60 cities. And they're moving in, and these are Amorite kings. And these Amorite kings are and the Amorite culture is steeped in sin. And we'll come back to that as we culminate our time today. But they've seen great victory. They are basically invincible. And then we saw how they were seduced by the Moabite women. And they move from this position of invincibility because of the power and the provision of God to moving out from under that power and out from under that provision, and they become liable to destruction. In fact, God begins to bring a plague against them because of their sexual immorality and because of their idolatry. And they move from having the right mix to having the wrong mix. And perhaps you've discovered in your life that when your mix is wrong, your life is wrong. And they found that out. And I'm telling you, see, they got enticed by the Moabites, and there was sin around them, and that sin began to just rot them from the inside. And it's incredible how Aaron has mentioned it and Roki has mentioned it, but that we are inundated with a culture of sin. And if you look at our culture, there is just such a display of sin that we are surrounded by it. And not just our nation, but our world. The mix is wrong. And life is wrong. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Jesus said he would build the church and that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. And there is a picture of the kingdom of God in the church, that the church would advance against Hades and push back evil. We study the pushing back of evil as the Hebrews take the land, but we do not see a display of that evil being pushed back in our culture today. Because the church is not pushing. We say pray for our nation on July 4th. And you know the prayers that we pray? God, let us off the hook. God, save our nation. God, do a mighty miracle and bring revival. And he said, that's what you're there for. That's why I have you there, so that you might accomplish. I will equip you and empower you. You get your mix right, your life will be right. You will push back darkness. You will push back sin, and you will celebrate my victory. But it's not happening. We want to elect people to do our work. And it's not working. Title of today's message is The Right Mix. Question for you. How's yours? I hope it's good. Because you get your mix right, you get your life right. Amen? All right. Going to continue reading on in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. And there's a lot of text today. If you got notes, you'll see there's a lot of words on them. "Hear, O Israel." That word for hear is Shema. And they call this the great Shema. I looked it up this morning and said, what is Shema? It just means hear. But this statement, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." That is the great Shema of Israel. The statement, the declaration statement. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Basically, Moses is saying, get a focus and keep a focus. Can I get a witness on that, please? This is a biggie. Why? Because this is basically 1,500 years before Christ. But Jesus, when he's asked, which is the greatest commandment? Of all the commandments, which is the most important? Mark chapter 12, 28 and 30. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Right here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. It was important in Moses' time. It was important in Jesus' time. And it's still important. Can I get a witness on that point? In your life, he is saying that your primary focus should be the Lord. God must be your priority. When God is your priority, your mix is right and your life will be right. But so many of us, as Roki, I believe, was saying, they don't want to hear it. Got other stuff that is going on. Mix is right, life is right. And he says, make sure your kids get it. Amen. You know, that is so diametrically opposed to the message of our culture. Because our culture would say, Philia's got a kid back there. There's such a wellspring of goodness. You know, what we need is tap into the goodness of these children and let it out. We just got to pull that out, and because what is in there is good, whatever comes out is good. You know what? I've seen some not so good stuff coming out of some of the kids around here. I've seen some not so good stuff coming out of the kids in my house. Can I get a witness on that from anybody? Yeah, you see, because realistically, the Bible doesn't say that. Bible says, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And people go, oh, that's so harsh. Well, Roki was saying, yeah, you get the truth around here. That's truth right there. And because that's truth, that means that you need to input some right. You got to input some God into your kids' lives so that what? They can get the right mix so they can have the right life. Bible says, Proverbs 22:6, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. You program your children for success by investing in them, infusing them with the Word of God. Why? Because they don't got it when they start. You need to get spiritually transformed by God so that your life can get right. Many of you have been transformed. You need to get transformed by the Spirit of God, be led by the Spirit of God, and then receive training so that you can live that life that will glorify the Lord. Amen? You need to get that for your kids. I'll tell you what. My mom can bail me out of jail. I never want to have to go bail Joe out of jail. He wrecked that truck. Guess what? He's fixing that truck. My wife says, you're being kind of hard on Joe. How did your dad act? She doesn't talk like that. She goes, no, I don't talk like that. She says, how did your... No, she doesn't talk like that either. I said, hey, my dad just paid for the cars that I wrecked. I have less money than my dad, Joe, so that's why we roll the way we roll. Train a child in the way she goes. That is a picture of Ann on Tuesday, the very first Bible club. Our goal, 20 kids by the end of school year in 5 weeks. We had 21 on Tuesday. Come next Tuesday, I am going to start a second class, and we're going to shoot for 40 for the end of school year. And if we get that, we take all the TVs that we used to run the video games on, and we're going to put them out in the patio area out there. We're going to fill the whole patio up with Bible Club. Amen. How's that for cool? See, we train a child in the ways they should go. We had a bunch of kids going to Future Quest, driving them out, driving them in. More than half not here this morning. Why? They got no training going on at home. That's why we went the effort to get them there, trying to get a little immersion into the Word. Amen? All right, sorry, I got to move on. I kind of go long. All right, here we go. I told you I wasn't going to go long. Deuteronomy 6, 10 through 12. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things. This sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you don't forget God. The Lord who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Your blessings come from God. So you can get so blessed, you can be thinking, I'm so smart. See, that's one thing. It is easy for me to serve the Lord because I found out so brilliantly that I'm not so smart. The failure visited me in my life, and I came to that absolute bottom, and I said, Lord, go ahead and take over. I am yours. And it was such a massive fail that I've never had the thought that I might just go ahead and roll on without him. Amen? He says, don't forget. When you get where you're going, don't forget where you came from. Amen. Operative words here. God brings you and God gives you. Remember that you are recipients of God's grace, that God called you out of darkness by his mercy, that you are here today because the Spirit of God would guide you into truth and understanding. He says, you're going to get cities, you're going to get towns, you're going to get wells, you're going to get homes, you're going to get vineyards, you're going to get olive groves, all because of somebody else's work. You sit here redeemed because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. You sit here redeemed today because the Holy Spirit guided you into that truth and gave you the opportunity to receive him. You get to where, and you know what? Surrounded by all this great urbanization, there's a lot of people that got the wrong mix and the wrong life. Maybe like Roki was saying, my mix was wrong. Yeah, I tell you what, I would literally leave church and start going to porn shops and strip joints looking for Roki. I'd say, I got to find this guy. He gave me a great education on where all the porn shops are and where all the strip joints are in this town. You go chase him down. Wrong mix, wrong life. Right mix, right life. Amen? You see a total transformation in the life of Roki. And he's telling the Jews, man, you get to this great land, and I'm going to hand all your enemies over to you. Don't forget how you got it. Because you, working on your own, you'll mess it up. I found that to be true in my life. Problem is, see, we get to that good land, we kind of start looking back. Wasn't so bad being a slave. He says, we were slaves in Egypt. We were all slaves to sin. Amen. And you start looking back and say, you know, some of that wasn't so bad. You know, if you just take out the puke and blood part, the rest was kind of fun. Jesus says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Don't look back, folks. Don't look back and try and remember the good times and not include all the things. See, wrong mix, wrong life. You can't get away from it. And Moses is telling the Jews, man, you get the right mix, everything is going to work out for you. But you can mess it up. You were slaves. You can be slaves again. We get set free because of the work of Christ on the cross. And God blesses us. Amen? Amen. We got a whole lot of blessing going on around here. Tommy Banks getting a... You know, last time I saw you, you were a little bit more sweaty.
Yeah, I was moving. And the other day, I got up. I was all excited about the move. I turned on the TV. And what do I get? The Supreme Court decision And it just hit me. I mean, I felt like my legs was weighed, and I was like, I don't really want to move now. But, you know, I got to thinking about how God, He's always led His people. And if we follow God and stay aligned with God and obey Him, then we can make it. And then I got up and said, okay, I'm ready to move. But just that, you know, knowing that.
Now not everybody realizes that you got a new place. How'd you get a new place? I mean, that is a miracle of God right there.
It was a blessing. I had talked to the lady. It was through Terry's old client. He had a stroke. He had to move out. And I was blessed. Mike fixed up the place, and then I was able to move in. So it's been a blessing. You know, it's been a blessing that God has really opened the way. And, you know, there's things that I'll miss about the old place. You know, my old place, I lived off the alley. And I'll miss seeing Sandra's face when I turn the corner and seeing Brother Aaron as I'm going up the street. But I won't miss those people coming down with their carts, digging through the trash cans. When I look out of my window, it's, you know, the alleyway. But God has blessed me.
And the guy who got shot that you were holding, bleeding in your arms.
Underneath, I won't miss that. the in and out activity, the traffic. But God has really blessed me. And I can see if we stay obedient to His will and follow Him, that God will truly bless you. And it's been a blessing for me, and it's been a transformation for me. The inside, on the inside, you know, Pastor Bob had given a sermon last year, I think it was, things go better with God. And that's true. When you stay lined up on God and the will of God, then you will be blessed. So I am just so happy to be in this new place. And although I know it's a new place, it's a challenge, because we are challenged. These are the last days that we're living in, and we are truly challenged. And it's our mission to go out and to bring other people to Christ and to show that Christ in us. So I'm being transplanted from one place to another. But
where's the new place?
It's on Wilson, right up the street, a couple of blocks up. So I'm still going to be a bright light in City Heights. All
amen.
Right?
Amen. Right mix, right life. Amen. Thank you, Tommy. All righty. Let's go. Second point. Here we go. All right. Continuing on to verses 6 through 20 through 25. In the future. Now, this is Moses talking to the Jews. They're getting ready to take the land. And he says, now, in the future, when your son asks you, what's the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt. But the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive. Right mix. And as is the case today, he says, and if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. And he's saying, let's stay on the right side of God. We have all these decrees. We have the law. We have the Bible, the word of the Lord, so that we can keep lined up on the Lord. And notice that it was after they had been delivered out of slavery that God gave them the way to live in right relationship with him. He did not say, if you live in right relationship with me, I will take you out of slavery. No. He says, I took you out of slavery. This is how you can live in right relationship with me. The Lord, if you accept him as your Savior today, does not say, you got to get right so I'll save you. No, he says, I'll save you so that you can then get right. Amen? And so often we come to the Lord in a crisis situation, save me, Lord, save me, Lord. And he saves us. And then he says, now, here's how you live in right relationship with me. And we say, I got other stuff going on. Wrong mix. Wrong life. God will reach out and touch you and gives you the opportunity. If your son comes to you and says, why do we got to do all this? Why can't I lie and cheat and steal? Because everybody else is. And dad, some of these Canaanite women, they're looking pretty good. Why can't we just do what we want to do? He says, I told you we were slaves, son. Let me tell you about Egypt. Egypt is not much these days. But back in the day, Egypt was number one. And the Lord did incredible miracles. Guided us out of Egypt. Turned the Nile to blood. Frogs brought lice, brought flies, pestilence, boils, hails, locusts, darkness, and the slaying of the firstborn. Incredible display. He says, I didn't see it. Your grandfather told me about it. His grandpa died in the wilderness. Incredible display. Then as we are marching out of Egypt, we come to the Red Sea. No way out. Moses holds up his staff and the Red Sea parts. And we march through the Red Sea as on dry ground. Now the word there for Red Sea, if you take a look on your Bible, it says Sea of Reeds. Like a marsh. The incredible thing is whether or not it was Red Sea, Sea of Reeds, an edge of the Red Sea, whatever, it parted for the Israelites to march through on dry ground, and Pharaoh went to follow, and it came in, and he drowned the whole army of Egypt. Now, I don't know how you look at that, but there's some miracles going on right there. He says, son, we were slaves in Egypt. And we don't want to go back to slavery, and that is why we follow these commands and decrees that the Lord gives us. Amen. These decrees help us have the right mix. And when the mix is right, life is right. Because we really don't make great choices on our own, son. 40 years in the wilderness, that was on us. The Lord would have got us there in a year. Now, Terry, I'll tell you. You want to make life easy? Just do what God says. Right here. Right there. Easy living right there. I mean, it's tough. But I'll tell you what, it's getting hard out there, folks. You can get swallowed up, or you can be a light. All right, let's continue going here. Can't do this on our own. Verses 18 and 19. Sliding back two verses. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it might go well with you. I mean, do you get the tie there? Do what is right and good in the, because sometimes we just want to do our own thing and have it go good with us. There's a promise. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight that it might go well with you and that you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised an oath to your fathers, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. He's going, son, the Lord has made a way for us. We're going to read this in a second, but I just want to give you a heads up on it. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess and drives out before you nations. How many? Seven nations larger and stronger than you. That's a lot. One nation stronger and larger than you is a big deal, right? You get a fight on the street out there, you got a guy that's bigger and larger than you, and you take him, you're feeling pretty good. You got seven, you're feeling really good. Amen? He says, it was the Lord that delivered our enemies into our hands. Mix was right, life is right. He says, you've heard of the story of Jericho. Oh yeah, Dad, I heard that story. He said, we went in there, we didn't even fight. We marched around the city for 7 days. On the seventh day, we marched around the city seven times. We had the Ark of the Covenant in front of it. We blew the trumpet, and boom, walls fall down. We go in, and we destroy everything. God gave our enemies into our hand. Now, maybe you haven't heard the story about Ai. Because we don't talk about AI so much. See, Achan. You don't know about Achan because Achan's gone. But Achan was this guy. He went into Jericho and he took some of the stuff. He took some gold. He took some silver. He took some robes. And he took some stuff. And he was disobedient to God. And he made us liable to destruction. Mix is wrong, Life is wrong. God was not with us in Ai. God pointed out Achan to us, took him, his family, his animals, his tent, everything associated with Achan was destroyed. We stoned him, and then we burned him. You see, at Jericho, a massive city, we lost not one man. We barely even had to fight. In Ai, a puny little outpost town, we lost 36 men, and our army went running. Life is right when the mix is right. Mix got wrong. He says, son, we got right with God real quick. And we stay right with God, and that's how come we work this word. Make sense? Ask permission to share this story. It'll be an anonymous story. I want to let you know I did ask permission. Pastor Paul told me about a prayer he prayed. Prayer for a mother whose son was struggling with the wrong mix. Mix was wrong. Life was wrong. Captured by drugs. Pastor Paul, will you pray for me? Drugs are swallowing my son's life. He says, yeah, we'll pray. And we're going to pray that those drugs are going to lose complete effect upon him. Testimony came back this week. Young man comes into the house. Mom, I don't know why I'm wasting my money on this dope. It doesn't even get me high anymore. Prayer changes things. When your life is right, mix is right, God is right there with you in the midst of your challenges. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
So we got the story of the mix of the Bondo. Didn't work. We got Tommy Banks right there working the mix. We got God honoring those who honor him. Amen? You put a focus on him, you get your mix right, your life will be right, and God will be right there with you. He says, I'm going to give you the land flowing with milk and honey. Stay lined up on me so you don't lose it. Don't lose it when the Lord moves into your life. We're going to come up to a pretty challenging section of Scripture today. Yeah, that's 11:30. But I started 15 minutes late, and I'm going to end at 42 minutes. When the Lord your God brings you, 42 minutes from when I started, not from now. When the Lord your God brings you into the land that you are entering to possess and drives out before you many nations, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, seven nations larger and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them. Show them no mercy. The Canaanites must be destroyed. My question for you this morning is, what makes them different from ISIS? Because we are talking complete genocide here. Total nations of Canaan wiped out. Right off, one big difference. These are seven nations larger than the Israelites. ISIS is not taking on anybody bigger than them. They are taking on smaller cities that they can move on, annihilate, and then they are taking advantage of the civilian population. The Hebrews were acting for God. They were the right mix. ISIS is acting for something else. God put tight restraints on the Israelites on how they could act and what they could do as they were taking Canaan. ISIS is showing no restraint. We see the restraints as they are transgressed in Ai, that the Lord took his hand off of them, and they were subject to defeat by a much smaller enemy. So they were forced to keep in mind that it is the Lord that is doing this work, and we are agents of the Lord. ISIS made news this week, bring up the Tunisian attack where I think a lone gunman just started shooting up tourists. Again, people not involved in any type of military action whatsoever. Also earlier in the week, they drowned, I believe it was five men, in a cage. They took movie cameras and they had these guys, they showed them in there, and they dropped him into a swimming pool, and they dropped the camera into the pool, and they filmed them drowning to death. They pulled them out, and they were all dead. They put four men inside of, I don't know, it was like a 1995-something car, nothing great, shot it with a RPG. Put on the internet, drum up support. They began giving away women, sexual slaves, for those jihadists who were sufficiently memorizing the Quran. So you go to Quran club, and we go to Bible club, we'll give you candy. Go to Quran club, you learn enough of the Quran, and they'll give you a woman for your home. There was a lady who was involved in setting up, trafficking, whatever, women and girls from Europe, mainly Germany, to move them to Turkey and then in for the soldiers of ISIS. She escaped. She says she was several years ago just she'd dance and go to clubs and all that kind of stuff. But then she was captured and she became this interface, and she would bring in women and girls, young girls, that the jihadists and the leadership in ISIS would believe that you can marry a girl of nine. And there was this Hebrew, there's this Muslim lady. What is that? Remember that lady's name? The one with the turban, she doesn't eat pork. She comes on for the meal program. Sarah, right? Yes, Sarah. She has a little girl. I said, "How old is your daughter?" She says, "Six." And I told her what I just told you about the nine-year-olds. I said, "Do you know why? Do you know why that those jihadists believe that you can marry a girl of nine?" She goes, "Well, that's just wrong." I said, "Yeah, I agree with you. The reason that they believe nine is the appropriate number is because it is known that the Prophet Muhammad became engaged to a six-year-old girl and then married and consummated the marriage when she turned nine." She said, "I will research that." I said, "I hope you do." But it makes sense. That's why nine is good for ISIS. Because it was good for Muhammad. The Hebrews were under strict restrictions in the invasion of Canaan. Hebrew word Charam, sometimes translated ban, B-A-N-N-E-D, banned. That means total consecration to God. When they destroyed, when Jericho was delivered into their hands, they killed every living thing, animal and everything, and not one soldier took, except for Achan, took anything out of the town. It was all consecrated to God. And that takes the human element out of it. Because these ISIS guys, they're running into town, they are looking for girls to grab. to sell or do whatever. They go into the museums, they take all this stuff, and they don't want to have anything to do with God or Jewish thing, but if you got some nice old relics, they'll sell them on the internet. So they destroy these towns, they destroy these museums, but they're looking for the cash. Cash is king. But not with the Hebrews taking the land of Canaan. All right. God gives us the reason. It says, verse 4, he says, make no treaty with them, show them no mercy, utterly destroy them, for they will turn your sons away from following me. They'll destroy your mix. Right mix, right life. Wrong mix, wrong life. They'll turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, just like the Moabite women did. And the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you. Just like what happened when they were seduced by the Moabite women and started worshiping the Moabite gods, God brought a plague that began to destroy the Hebrews. His anger burned against them. He says, this is what you are to do to them. Break down their altars. Smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles, and burn their idols in the fire. For you are a people that is holy to the Lord. You are separated under God. You have a right mix. You put a focus on me, I'll put a focus on you, and things will go right with you. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. That's why you got to destroy them, because they'll destroy you. They will rot you from the inside out. You were realistically invincible. The Amorite kings could not stand against you. You moved against 60 cities of Bashan. The number of cities that Sion had is not mentioned, but if it's 120 cities. You're invincible and you're seduced by the women of Moab. You go into Canaan, you totally destroy them. God had told Abraham 400 years earlier. He goes, your children are going to Egypt. I'm going to make a great nation out of them. They're going to come back and take the land. And the reason is because the sin of the Canaanites is not yet full. In the 400 years between the time of Abraham and the time of Moses, the sin of Canaan became full, and it became as a result of the invasion or the infusion of Amorites. Hammurabi. You've heard of the Code of Hammurabi. He was an Amorite king. It spread, the Amorite kingdom spread all the way over into Babylon, and it was just spreading out, and the religion was focused on the worship of Baal and Asherah. Baal was a fertility god, and he would have physical relations with Asherah, and the fertility of animals and rain and all that stuff would be a result of that. Their worship in church would involve the physical union of people that would come into worship, that would come into church with temple prostitutes. This would be an entirely different setting. Were we worshiping Baal and Asherah? I'm trying to be a tad cryptic, but I'm hoping you're getting what I'm talking about. And what had happened is this religion, and El was the previous god of the Canaanites, that in about 600 years B.C., about 200 years, 150 years before the Exodus, that this Amorite religion had moved in. Baal is the son of Dagon. So you see, Dagon gets referenced, Baal and Asherah, all the way through the time of the kings, all the way up until Babylon comes and destroys Jerusalem. And why is that? Because they didn't destroy the Canaanites. God says, you didn't do what I told you to do. And it ended up... God sent the Babylonians to destroy Jerusalem because they were sacrificing their children to the pagan god Molech in his temple. God said, we're done. Babylonians are coming. They're going to tear it all down. So you get the wrong mix, you got a wrong life. Break it down. Tear it down. Keep your eye on me. You keep your mix right, your life will be right. This is a pretty challenging chunk of scripture. Lisa, you want to come up here, please? This is a complete destruction of a society ordered by God. It was because Canaan had completely fallen into sin. He says, God says to them, he says, man, you can't move into this and live around it. It'll destroy you. And you look around at our culture, I'll tell you what, folks. Our culture is failing because the church is not doing what the church is supposed to do. You got people around you that are buying the lie. Their mix is wrong. Their life is wrong. I'll tell you what. They can be buying this lie. Their mix is wrong. Their life is wrong. Their wrong life will give footing, give a place to you to stand and present the truth of Christ. Your right life will give you opportunity to share the truth of Christ, because people come along and say, how come you are not being dragged down the way I am? And you will be able to speak into their lives. Killed everybody and everything in Jericho. Not quite. Except for Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute, most likely a temple prostitute, most likely very much engaged and involved in the worship of Baal and Asherah. But she became aware of the spies of the Hebrews that were spying out the land, and she said, I'm ready to leave this stuff. She said, I will help you if you will spare us, because everybody is terrified of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They said, you tie a scarlet rope around your door and we will spare you and everybody in your household. And so as Jericho was destroyed and everything in it was destroyed and the walls fell down, Rahab and her household was spared. And Rahab left that Canaanite culture and became a member of the Israelite culture and married a man named Salem. Had a son. I got to get this right. Oh, you covered it up. Salmon, I'm sorry. I don't want to say him. Had a son named Boaz. Maybe you've heard of Boaz. Boaz married Ruth. Book of Ruth. Boaz is that guy. Rahab was Boaz's mom. They had a son named Obed, whose son was Jesse, whose son was David, king of Israel. You know, we think it's not fair. It's not fair for the Lord to bring that judgment. They didn't have a chance. They didn't have a shot. Well, Rahab did. From Rahab came a line of kings that reaches all the way down to the King of Kings, our Savior, tied in with Rahab being saved from Jericho. Wrong mix, wrong life. How's your mix today? Maybe you sit here today and you're thinking, wrong, wrong, wrong. Doesn't have to be. You're here. The Lord is saying wrong to your heart so that it can become right. You are here today because of the work of the Holy Spirit would draw you into this place, would reveal the wrongness in your life so that you can be transformed. You can be just like Rahab, who used to give herself in the worship of Baal and Asherah. He says, I can deliver you out of this heinous life. You can become my child. And that's what he did for me, did for Roki, did for Tommy, did for so many that are here this morning. Right mix, right life. You can get right this morning. Lord, I come this morning, Lord, knowing that you are the author and the finisher of my faith, Lord. That you, you build this house, Lord. We labor in vain, and we don't want to labor in vain. So, Lord, I humbly serve you, and I humbly thank you for the opportunity to serve you. But perhaps you are here this morning, and your heart is just clutched within you. You say, I feel like Rahab. I don't want to be like Rahab anymore. I want to be right. I want to have the right mix. I want to put the Lord first in my life. I don't know how I'm going to do it. You don't have to know how you're going to do it. All you got to know is that you need to do it, and we'll start walking through that with you. The Holy Spirit will guide you into it. You can be so messed up. I was so messed up when I came to the Lord. I was hungover. Oh, man. Last time I was hungover was that day, 25-something years ago. You're here this morning. You're tired. Tired of being wrong, wanting to be right, nobody looking around. But right now, the Holy Spirit's saying, this is for you. You feel like when Roki said, I feel like he's always preaching to me. You either got to run out of here right now, or you got to surrender your life to the Lord, and you want to surrender your life to the Lord. Don't be looking around. So I want you to slide your hand up and say, Lord, you're talking to me this morning. I want to be right. Back here, here, here. Back there, yes. Anybody else? Put your hand up. I saw it. You put your hand down. One more minute. Man, when I was Wednesday night, I was getting right with the Lord. Pastor said, one more minute. And I went, whoa, put my hand up last time. You didn't put your hand up earlier. The Lord's just all over you right now. You're saying, that's me, Lord. You want to be right. Slide your hand up. Yeah, yes, see that. Lord, I thank you that right here, yeah, I see you too. Amen. Let's just stand. Lord, I thank you for these. Lord, I thank you for your message. Lord, I thank you that we can be right, that we can live right, that you have got us right, that you died on the cross, Lord, that we would find new life. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to work 16 years in this fabulous church filled with fabulous people, Lord, that are just like Rahab. I was just like Rahab. And Lord, maybe my son's going to be way different than me. I thank you for that. My daughter, way different than me. Maybe my wife is way different than me. But her mom was like me.